Well, Cyberpunk looks awesome.
Ah,
the cinematic trailer, at least.
Yeah,
it's to be fair, it's what we said a few years ago too. So
yeah, Cyberpunk.
That's true. That's funny.
Cyberpunk: Phantom Liberty coming out on the 26th of this month. The trailers have been dropping this weekend.
26?
26.
Oh, that was 21st for some reason.
Maybe 21st. Like maybe there's like an early access something.
I don't know. Maybe we're.
But play. I've seen some people saying that they've had a chance to play it. That it feels wildly different than Cyberpunk, and that's a good thing. And the trailer looks awesome. Now, the gameplay trailer, we were watching it before the show, and I think the devs are working out some frustrations.
Yeah, I'll pull it up.
I think there's some anger. There's some anger there, you know, from not doing so well. And there is some violence that happens that is like, whoa.
I'll pull up the cinematic trailer.
But it's
pretty.
Jordan the Man, so there's new skill trees.
Yeah, well, the whole, everything's revamped. I mean, at the end of the trailer, it basically has a bullet point list of tons of different stuff. Hundreds of new, what'd they say, 100 new weapons, ammo, customizations, whole new skill tree. So, like, you still have what is it? Cool reflexes, you know, all those stats. Yeah. But now when you go into it, it's like there's a full on skill tree. And I actually saw one guy, I think it was one of the guys from IGN actually. He was saying he feels like he's specking into builds now, which I think is a good thing. Cause when you're playing an RPG, you're like, okay, I want to be like this, you know, silent knife guy. Right. So he feels like he's specking into that now.
Yeah. So it says
that kind of wasn't there before.
Yeah, so for those listening at the end of the trailer on screen, it says a dangerous new district, dozens of new story quests and gigs, vehicle combat and mounted weaponry, revamped police system, i.e. they chase you now, combat AI overhaul, endless dynamic events and missions, redesigned cyberware and perks, all new relic skill tree, increased level cap, 100 plus new items, weapons, cyberware, and fashion.
Yeah. Yeah, so a lot. I'm just going to say this. Maybe it's a hot take. Watching this trailer makes me not want them to move on to the next project. I kind of want like more Cyberpunk after this expansion. But I mean, that being said, we haven't played it yet, so you know, we'll see.
Yeah, and let's talk cinematic trailer. It's very good.
It's extraordinarily pretty.
Like at first, it starts playing. I'm like, okay, and then it sucks you in. Like whoever was the director of this did a fabulous job.
Well, and I really like Idris. What's his last name?
Idris Elba.
Yeah, Idris Elba. I like him. He's a good actor. I'm glad.
Happy Mayo brings up a question. It's a genuine question. But is it too late? Is it too late? Is this too late for Cyberpunk?
I don't think.
Have we passed its? You know, Cyberpunk's no longer in the zeitgeist. It's no longer in the culture.
There may be some people that don't play it because of the original or this and that. But I actually really don't think it's ever too late because, I mean, as the young people say, if something slaps,
it slaps hard.
It slaps, yeah. If this comes good. Out and it just is crazy amazing, people, I mean, you kind of forget, you know? It's how do you rectify a mistake in gaming? You make a better game.
Yeah.
If it's good, it's never too late.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, interesting. The hype behind you could get, if you get the right people enjoying it,
it can take off.
Well, if it's good, and you get the right people enjoying it, it's never too late.
Let me ask you this: do you need to play through the full campaign to experience this, or can you just pick it up?
The short answer is no.
Well, that sucks.
What? Why does it suck?
I don't want to play the full campaign. I just want to play this.
No, he's saying no.
Oh, you do. So you don't have to play the full campaign.
Do you have to play the full game?
You know what Mark was saying last week is right. You really don't listen to me.
Well, no, it's the way that you answered was like it was a negative. And so you had a negative tone, so I took it as a negative response.
Well, okay. So if you've played and beaten the game, you probably know what I'm talking about. No. Well, I guess, no.
Okay.
No. And I actually believe if you do this DLC and then beat the game, there's an additional ending. Mm. I actually really don't like the way the game ended. So
okay, so this is a good thing.
Throwing that out there.
It's a cool spaceship, by the way. It's a cool futuristic plane.
Yeah, and they're like in the atmosphere, too.
Yeah.
We're watching.
Less resistance, probably faster travel.
Oh, faster travel.
basic that, science, you know.
That jet that would like take 3 hours to go from London to New York.
Concorde.
The Concorde, yeah. Didn't it travel super high?
I don't think it traveled super high, but it wasn't allowed to travel over land. That's why you could only take it over oceans.
Because it was so loud?
Yeah, I think because of the loudness.
Yeah, that's my kind of plane.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. How loud was it?
That's why the Concorde didn't last, because it was very limited. Super cool, though.
We have a military base.
Iconic plane.
Up the road, and they fly jets. That's loud. Yeah, but they never loud was this one?
They never break the sound barrier here. Have you ever been around when they break the sound barrier?
Is that
that's what the Concorde
would
do.
Is that when it goes,
boom, the ground shakes.
I think that's cool.
Oh.
Yeah, I like stuff like that.
Yes,
that's neat. That's neat.
Well, not when it wakes up your kid. You wouldn't. And we have an airport right over here. If the Concorde could come flying through here.
Boom! I think it stopped. It had its last flight in the early 2000s.
Yeah, it wasn't financially viable.
Well, because it only could hold like 12 people because it was all engine and gas.
Yeah.
But it was a cool
Wasn't there an
plane.
Accident
it was
on super it, too?
Cool.
Wasn't the there like a severe down. Accident, too?
No, I don't think so.
No, there was one. Yeah, it was really? Like...
Yeah, it was in France, wasn't it? Well, I know it's a French company, isn't it? But it was... everybody died.
I don't
like
respect
was,
the
well,
French.
I think most airplane crashes, that's the case. This one probably especially, but yeah. I think it was like mid-90s, I remember hearing about that.
Hush Al Ghul says, I really wanted to play the original Cyberpunk at launch. I got the physical pre-order, yet canceled the order. Have yet to play it.
Oh yeah, you won't be tainted by.
Well, no, yeah, because I think so. All of this stuff is coming in the 2.0 update. Now I don't know if the 2.0 update's dropping earlier or if it's all dropping at the same time. I'll look it up in just a second here. But the 2.0 update is what comes with all of this changes and everything, which is great.
Yeah, Happy Mail says I'll be starting all the way over, but not till Starfield is at least at like 300 hours, and I think that's the problem. Like There's a lot in there. Not to mention, Forza is dropping. And have you seen the Forza stuff?
No, should I pull it up? Are we done with it?
Oh, my. No, go ahead. I think you had something to say. Sorry.
Did I?
It felt like you were about to say something on Cyberpunk.
Oh, well, it looks fantastic. I'm excited to play this. What I was going to say is this has been a great year.
It is
for games.
So good.
It has
so
been good. Such a good
There's
year.
There's too many games to play. Yeah. How do you decide? Yeah. You answer, you don't.
Yeah, you could either choose one or experience 5% of all of them.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't know. I'm on the fence on how to approach it.
Sick days.
Sorry, so the reason I thought September 21st, everybody, is the 2.0 update comes out September 21st. And then I believe the expansion hits September 26th.
Oh, okay. Good to know.
Yeah, thanks, Jordan.
You're welcome. Hey, good to know, bro.
So that's just next week.
So let's talk Forza now.
I'm excited. The police.
Oh, you want me to pull it up? Yeah, we'll pull it up. We'll pull up Forza.
Yeah, Forza looks
500 cars.
Forza looks so good.
Yeah, I saw that. 500 cars.
No, it looks so good.
Wait, did a trailer drop this week that I didn't miss?
No, we're just getting close.
I think they're just slowly starting to hype up. Yeah,
the more stuff's coming out. We're just getting close. What are we? A few weeks away at this point. Yeah. Excuse me.
Wait, is it called Motorsport 8 or is it just Motorsport?
Motorsport.
It's Motorsport. One of the things is why I started making big news this week is the press got to play some levels of it. And one of the things that really stood out in all of the reviews, hey, I got to play this, here's what I noticed, here's what I like, is they're really encouraging you to slowly upgrade your car over time. And the whole game is developed around this, like this almost this car RPG system.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. That's why my favorite racing game, I would say of all time, is Top Gear 3000, I believe it's called, on the SNES. Was it the SNES? Yeah. Because that was the point of the game. Same with Rock and Roll Racing, a great Blizzard game before Blizzard was Blizzard.
Yeah.
You would upgrade your car, you would buy a better car, and then
like at the core of Forza Motorsport, which is really a new platform. Like, I think this is it. Things will be added onto this over time. That's why I think they've gone away from the numbers. But this like RPG idea, everyone is talking about that had a chance to play and says it's built it. It's in the
That's
DNA.
So awesome.
Whereas before it was like you get your car. Let's say Forza Horizon or Forza Motorsport 6. You'd get your car and you'd max it out immediately. I would go to the freaking shop. And I'd pick someone's tune. I'd buy everything that I needed to buy. Boom, done. This doesn't do that. This encourages you, like, you make incremental steps as you race.
But what if I just want to race?
Then you can. That's the point. What do you mean?
He wants to just go fast.
Well, no,
you can. He
do
wants
that.
To shake and bake.
Well, I'm worried like
over time, but you've got to build out your library and build it up. You've got to build through racing.
So what if I want a multiplayer race?
Like, you gotta be really good. Have you tried multiplayer racing in another sport?
Yeah. Well, Forza is. I think
you should just stick with the single players.
It was Forza where we said, like, after playing Forza way back when, we understand why race car drivers get in fights.
Yeah. Yeah, because
I started watching the F1 show, right?
Yeah. What do you think? What do you think of it?
There have been several races that. It made me have flashbacks of Forza. The turn one is crazy.
Also, what's cool is you recognize the tracks because you've played them. Yeah, yeah. Like, it's so cool.
Turn one can be a crazy turn.
What do you think of the show?
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
I think that's a show where they could use the IMAX camera, you know, because you got to pull cord to start that thing.
They have excellent photographers on that show.
Yeah.
They probably have to... My guess on how they produce that show is they film and interview
everyone and then cut it down and create a storyline. Yeah.
And then they choose what was the most interesting from which teams and create a storyline from that.
Yeah.
Going through that much footage to be able to make a story per episode, essentially, because like I'm watching it and they choose teams. Yeah. You know, and they choose drivers.
As you go along season to season, like you get to know everyone.
What season are you in right now?
I think I'm done with the first one.
Oh, okay.
It's hard to take time to watch that show, but I am in. And I'm telling you, man, turn one.
Yeah, turn one.
Turn one
crushes
is a-
you.
Well, and you've seen episodes then, because if you're through season one, you've seen episodes where teammates have ran into teammates.
Oh yeah, Red Bull. And you're like, oh, yeah. And both of them are like, hey, it's not my fault he was in front of me. It's not my fault he was behind me. That's like one of the most epic shots of the show. The two Red Bulls just slam into each
yeah.
other.
Oh,
and,
so
and
good.
Their his name is Christian. The owner goes, we had a talk. we had a talk afterwards.
Tony Yayo is in chat and he says, is Forza current gen only still have a 1X? Forza Motorsport will be current gen only. At least at launch. I think maybe at launch it's current gen only. Someone correct me in chat if I'm wrong. I think at launch it's current gen only.
They shakes when they should have baked.
Yeah.
That's funny.
But not only that, like they showed off, everybody talks about the physics, the technical spectacle that Forza Motorsport is.
Well, these are always tech games.
Forza, there's a high bar. Forza Motorsport, there's a high bar. We hadn't got a new one in a few years. It's a high bar to meet, and it's sounding like they've not just met it, they've surpassed it.
Well, but I'm...
And that's huge.
What I don't want to say worried about, but like this RPG element, I think it's a cool idea and stuff, but like, is it going to be in the way of I just want to race? You know what I mean? Like, am I going to be held back because I have to level up my character, quote unquote, be in the car?
Jordan, if you don't get involved like this, you're going to be held back.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious how...
I'm confused. Asking is, do I have to play the game?
No. I'm asking like... I just want to race. Like
yeah,
I want to race
like in Starfield. Like I just want to play. Put me at endgame from first spot.
Which, by the way, we can have that discussion because I have finished the game.
Hey, me too.
Not me.
Yeah.
Not me.
Thanks. Anyways,
No.
Well, because what I'm saying is sometimes I just like if I okay. Let's say
Beast by the way in chat. He says I think you can stream it on the 1X. You can stream it to the 1X. Yes, that is correct.
So. No. He was saying maybe you can stream it to the 1X.
I don't think you should ever stream a racing game.
No, you can. You can. I remember in the articles that I was reading there. Yeah.
What I'm saying is I load up the game. I hit A. I want to go to multiplayer racing. Am I going to be held back because I didn't spend 20 hours investing in my car?
I don't know. Multiplayer may be a different thing entirely. I don't know. I don't know how it works. I can't remember. How does the old motorsports work?
This is completely new.
Do you bring your cars over? To multiplayer, I believe you do.
I get your question, but I think it's stupid.
Okay, well, I'm just saying, like, is it... It sounds, from what I've seen, it sounds like it's someone in chat said a slim RPG element, right? It doesn't sound like it's super overbearing. But I'm like just curious
asking,
if it, you know.
It's like asking,
can I want to play the campaign?
It's like
but
saying,
do I want
to play Tarkov? Why well, no, can't I race, start with all you, the guns?
Like, I want to race my friends and online.
Yeah,
like,
but, yeah you're a but you're a Tarkov you know guy. It's the same as saying, I want, just give, why doesn't it just start me with all the guns in Tarkov? Because the point of Tarkov is to earn them.
Well, no, it actually, Tarkov actually does start you with decent weapons.
I 100% doubt that the RPG system is in multiplayer. That has to be... It has to be a clean, balanced system.
All I'm asking is,
yeah, but it would be,
is it going to get in the way? You
no,
know
no,
what I mean?
Think like, it isn't. I think it is a multiplayer because I remember playing it before. You are...
You can tune
you
your cars,
your cars
yeah,
into
you could,
multiplayer.
Well, you can take your tunes in there.
But and,
maybe this is a better version of tuning because it's more... I mean, I don't know. I assume we'll they'll probably still have some type of tuning.
People are probably yelling right now because we got this all wrong. Sorry, everyone. Sorry, everyone. Jordan's bringing up stupid stuff.
No, I get his perspective.
No, you're right. You're right.
He just it's like a console versus a PC. He just wants to sit down, press A, and race.
Well, no, and shift. You know, I like to shift in these games.
Okay, so so
I like to turn up the difficulty a little bit.
I know, but I get that too. But at the same time, it. In a single player game, having that RPG carrot on the stick,
yeah,
I want to get better against the AI. I want to have my laptop.
Yeah.
You know, that's super fun.
No, yeah, I'm not against it. I'm curious. You know, I want to know more.
I know. I'm just saying, in multiplayer, it would be a mistake to have a Le Mans. Is it the Le Mans where it's like
they should do a Le Mans like once a year?
Yeah. Where it's like you got your class D's, class C's, class B's, class A's, S's all racing against each other. Yeah. That's how it would be, and no one would have fun just dominating, and no one would have fun just getting destroyed. So I'm saying if there is a multiplayer system, it's going to be balanced. Otherwise. That
well, because
I
think that's where, I mean, I'll play single player and stuff, yeah, but that's where the fun is racing your friends, like you, me, David,
part of the fun
couple
is.
Other people jump into a multiplayer match. Maybe you turn damage to cosmetic only just so there's no
They've always
issues.
Had that. They've always had that, though.
Yeah, but that's
private
what I'm saying.
Lobbies.
Yeah, but that's what I'm asking. Is the RPG going to get in the way of that? That's
no,
all I'm asking.
Because it wouldn't be in... It would be dumb to have that in the multiplayer aspect.
Okay,
unless it's a circuit. If it's a circuit like a season in any sports game, if it's a season and we all are at the same starting, you know, at the beginning and we go through the circuit and we do that and play over 3 months, say, that's fine. But if you just want to race with friends and you're able to bring in your own, geez, just monster versus my Honda Accord.
Well, sometimes I like, you know, I'm curious how in depth or how. Yeah. How much the RPG is a part of it.
Dude, I'm reading it right now. It's the multiplayer is awesome.
Well, elaborate, David, wow. Please.
Listen to this. So I think this is you. Spec Series. Spec Racing is fully homologated.
What in the...
Yeah. Why would on, you, that's the word of the day.
Why would you say a word like that?
It's probably a racing
like
word.
Who writes this?
No, how do you spell that?
To ensure... It means sameness, right? Like... So to ensure an even playing field, that means this is the spec series. So there's different series that you race in.
Yeah,
that means all the cars racing are identical and have been tuned by us to provide the fairest and most competitive experience possible.
Okay. Jordan, what I was trying to say. Homologated.
Yeah, why didn't you say? I would have understood if you said
that's what I was trying to say.
You can still earn car XP from spec series events to level up your car later. However, for these events, you will not be at a disadvantage if your car is level one. Then there's the open series where you can bring any car that meets the class.
So they're going to have modes.
That meets the class restrictions. Yeah. Yeah, that was the same it was before.
Minus the
then private multiplayer, obviously, but this is the one that I think we're gonna get behind, guys. Check this out.
Is this my water?
I've been drinking this one.
Yeah, that one's yours.
And I think that one's yours. Yeah.
Featured multiplayer. Wait.
Sorry to interrupt the show asking if that's my water.
So one of the biggest things we've added in Forza Motorsport is a live, real-world, time-based mode of predefined live events we call featured multiplayer. It's designed to have the feel of a real-world race weekend with races scheduled to begin at specific real-world times.
Nice.
The new online racing mode consolidates the hoppers and league modes from previous games. Featured multiplayer has spec events. We get that for different car divisions like GT, blah, 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 touring cars, open class, spotlight events, as well as a qualifier series for our new players. That's where you will be, Jordan.
Now, I have a racing wheel. You know that, right?
Yeah. You have a racing wheel. Yeah. You also didn't get the shirt.
Yeah. Each event. Yeah, it's true. Of the intro tutorial.
The intro tutorial where everyone is guaranteed a shirt. I cannot believe that girl denied you the shirt.
Yeah, and she looked down on you, dude.
Like, you didn't finish? Yeah. No. She said, get back in line.
Each event. This is what I like about this featured series. Each event has an entry cutoff and official start time running live on our servers. And before entering, you will see the track layout, number of laps, time of day, weather, and temperature.
Can we walk the track?
Yes, listen to
this. That's what the real racers do.
We intend for feature multiplayer to bring a sense of anticipation and spectacle, just as we see for real life racing events. Weekends tend to have, there will be an open practice stage and qualifying rounds
to determine
races in featured multiplayer. So we have
that is so awesome.
The open practice where you can make the most out of your prep time and open practice, get to know the track, blah, blah, blah. You will have anywhere between 5 and 20 minutes or more to get your practice laps in, so it's going to be timed. Qualify. Now, this I love. At any time before the featured race, you can jump into the qualify session. You will have a limited number of laps to put in your best lap. The best time will determine your starting position at the beginning of the featured race.
Yeah, just like real racing.
This is legit, dude. You can join an event anytime during open practice or qualifying up to 5 minutes prior to the featured race, and then entry for that event closes for new participants. When you join an event, you start an open practice with up to 23 other players. Skip lap will also be available, blah, blah, blah. We'll generally have at least one event available to join in each series in featured multiplayer, so you'll have all your series lined out there. How cool is that though, dude?
No, yeah, that'll be a fun race mode, especially to do on a weekend.
It's how the featured events, all the different race modes are then inside of that too. So like you'll have
The
spec, the open.
Yeah. But what I like is they're trying to replicate a real race weekend.
It's cool, man.
Instead of the whole weekend, I got a race in 20 minutes.
How'd you do in this last race?
I got a race.
What corner did you hit? How'd you practice that? Here's the thing, though, and the encouragement, they work hand in hand because really you have to know the track. And so you're going to have to play multi or single player and go through that campaign and level up.
Or just pick the track and practice.
Yeah, you can. They have the whole qualifying thing. Yeah. You got time to practice.
But you only have you only have 20 minutes.
Yeah, but I wonder how early they'll announce it, right? Because then you can just go practice or you just practice all the tracks.
This car is dominating. He must have put in that turbo.
He got a little bump.
Yeah, he's a little aggressive.
But dude, that's T-Buck says, "Damn, that sounds homologated AF." Yeah. All Games 957 says, "What up, X1 Bros? Awesome, I like it. What's up, All Games? Welcome back to the stream. Welcome everybody who's here live. If you want to join us live, you can do so every Friday. YouTube.com/X1Bros. Join us.
So we're watching this Forza Motorsport gameplay." Yep. I miss the fluidity of the simulation of what motorsport brings. Like it's fluid. It's
heavy. And I don't mean heavy, but I mean like deliberate is probably a better. It's a deliberate racer.
Yeah, it's slower than
Forza.
Horizon.
It's slower,
but it's so fluid and it's so technical.
It takes skills. I remember when I was streaming every morning, I got freaking good at racing. Okay. Yeah, you did. And part of that is because I would jump from motorsport to Forza, and when you go jump Those from motorsport Horizon. When you jump from motorsport to Horizon,
it's a controller, not a paddle. Damn it.
When you jump from motorsport to Horizon, it's like child's play because you're used to motorsport, and it's awesome, dude. Like I know simulation is not necessarily for everyone; not everyone's gonna like it, but there is a skill to motorsport that is next level. I mean, Sony made a whole movie. Basically, down theirs was Gran Turismo, where a guy became a pro, and it was this whole spiel that they did. But yeah, that's what this is. You can get good at racing IRL by playing this game.
Yeah.
You turn off all those assists and watch out.
And get a rig set up.
The hardest thing is right here. So this guy still has on. He only has it on turns. The lines.
I cannot do it with turns because I know you decided to turn them off and you could see the markers.
You can only turn this off. It gives you boost. You get extra XP, experience, etc. you have to know the tracks in order to turn it off. Well, so you have to drive the track.
I think you have to know how
times.
To drive.
I'm a natural. What we're talking about is the assist lines
yeah.
that tell you how fast you should be when you're going around turns.
Yeah. Yeah, it's. But look how good, and you gotta, and that's the thing that you learn. You don't slam on your brakes and then slam on the gas. You ease into both, and you accelerate out of the turns. And oh my! And what is amazing about all the motorsports, even Horizon has this, but every car has a distinct feel, and it's amazing how they get that to feel through a controller. Much less a nice racing. Why don't we all go get nice racing wheels?
Jordan already has.
I have a mid-tier setup. Racing wheel.
Yeah, I'm gonna get just because he just said that. I'm gonna get the pro tier. I don't want him to have that snubbery.
You know what? I'll get a pro tier.
Yeah, well.
Let's get pro tier.
Did you just see here how that has
that
everything?
That haptic feedback on it is
like
really.
If you had glasses, push it up. I have mid-tier.
They have like frames that you can buy for your like, and then you wheel up your chair. And it like everything sits on the frame. It's like you're in a car.
Yeah,
I think we should do it. We should do it, man. I enjoy just playing with the controller though. I've never played with a steering wheel on motorsports.
I think it's easier to shift on a like on when you're because it's the actual shifting stuff.
Yeah, on a steering wheel.
Yeah, because well, and if you have a shifter.
Yeah, if you get it. So my problem is I feel like you would want a really decent steering wheel. For this.
At least a pro tier, right?
Yeah, at least a pro tier. Yeah, mid tier I don't think it's going to cut it for
I don't
you.
Think, I think you'd lose.
Mid tier's great for like, I don't know, the crew. For a motorsport. Yeah, see, I feel like that too. Captain Obvious says, for me, it's harder to play on a steering wheel. I think that would be the case because it becomes more real.
Well, that's the thing. That's sometimes you want harder, David. Okay. Sometimes you
imagine,
want harder.
It's true. Imagine what you can do in your real car after you've been playing a week of motorsport with a
steering wheel. That's why when I had my Thrustmaster on Flight Simulator, or no, it was I had the Thrustmaster on the Star Wars game. Was it Squadron? No, what was it? Rogue? I can't remember. It's the dogfighting Star Wars game that came out. That was really, really good. That we didn't expect it to be really, really good. But it was much more difficult with the stick and, you know, the actual Thrustmaster in that game.
But
if you wanted
good.
To win, you pulled out the controller because it was super easy. But if you wanted to experience it, you would.
One of these days, we're going to have like a plane accident or something where the pilot passes out and a flight simulator guy takes over.
No, hey. I'm actually 100% confident that if the pilot like has a heart attack
on a certain plane, because have you been flying that certain?
Well,
plane?
I did fly the Boeing. In flight simulator, like I have confidence that I would raise my hand and say, "Hey guys, it's not going to be smooth, but I can land the plane."
I'm confident I can take care of us.
Yeah,
yeah.
I have real world experience at this point. I sold my lawnmower to a pilot.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And I didn't know he was a pilot. And I was having this conversation. I was like, you know what? I think I could take over if the time came. I was having this conversation with him.
I've played flight simulator.
Wait, you sold your lawnmower?
Well, my wife did. It's a funny story. I didn't know it was being sold, and it got sold.
That saddens me.
Yeah, I got another one.
Oh, okay.
I'm and now sad. And it's now a zero turn with like this, the sticks. So I'm like,
oh, that's pew, nice. Pew. So it's like, yeah, it's like 360. You could do.
Yo, I can sit there and spin all day.
Oh, that's fancy.
Anyway, so I was having this conversation. I was like, hey, pilot, I think I could. If the time arises, I think I could take over.
What did he say?
And he said, if you are playing on Microsoft Flight Simulator, you absolutely could.
Yeah.
He said...
All simulations off. Or sorry,
well,
all
no,
simulations off.
He on. Says you would know enough in a pinch to do what you got to do.
You're not going
to
be a great pilot, but you could do what you need to do.
Yeah. He said, because he said the physics of the plane, how the plane works, all that stuff, he says...
He plays then.
Yeah. And he actually told me, he's like, he's from Jackson Hole. He's like... Come out to Jackson Hole. I'll let you fly. I was like, yeah, that's awesome.
That's how I feel about quarterbacking. So I play Madden.
But he really said,
I could talk to Aaron Rodgers. Hey, man, I play Madden. I could do what you do.
But he really was because he's like you play that game. You have an edge.
That is cool. So I've been at the college that I was at that I used to work at had a massive flight program, and they had one of those. Pro like on hydraulics flight simulator.
You know, it actually makes sense that college had a flight program.
Yeah, that you train on And so for one of the times we got to use it and everybody's crashing, I landed in no problems because I've been doing Flight Simulator.
Yeah.
And the guy was like, wow, that was good.
And you're like, where's my wings?
Hey, I'm a gamer. I have a similar story. I have a similar story.
Did you tell him like, hey man, this sucks. Why don't you just throw in Flight Simulator? Story.
So I've ridden a horse before, but like, not really. Like once around a block, I've ridden a horse. Like, okay. You know what I mean? Like, so my friend moved to Tennessee. I went and visited him in Tennessee. This is the extent of my horse riding knowledge. Okay. He had two horses that just had a baby, and me, like the idiot, and him also, he didn't know what he was doing really either at this point. I think he was still learning. He was like, yeah, let's take him out for a ride. So I rode the mom right after she had a baby. Basically, she wasn't ready to go. She bucked me. That is the most terrifying
that
thing.
That is so scary.
It's the most terrifying thing.
A horse, when it's not controlled,
you're sitting
is
under
terrifying.
Okay. In fairness, I'm used to having tons of power between my legs. Okay. But a bucking horse, let me tell you.
At least one horsepower between
your legs? Yeah, I've got at least one down there. All right, but let me tell you, when you're sitting on a big sweaty horse and she's bucking. Who just had a baby and she's just trying to get back to her kid. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's my extent of horse riding. Hey, it's terrifying. I stayed on.
Did you fall off?
No, I stayed on.
Well, how'd they get her to calm down?
I took her.
You said, whoa.
David went
like the horse whisperer.
I have power between my legs. Okay.
Did you Georgia the Jungle?
So outside of that, Red Dead Redemption is all my horse riding abilities. So 2 years ago for my job in Vegas, we went on like a company retreat and we did horseback riding, like legit.
I've seen pictures.
Huge trail. We get back and multiple people said, wow, have you horse ridden before? Even the lady's like, have you horse ridden? Like the person in charge, have you ridden horses before? You look like you know what you're doing out there. I'm like, no, I play Red Dead Redemption. No one got that because none of them play games. But they're like, well, good job. I'm like, yeah, I'm Red Dead Redemption, baby.
What an asshole.
Yeah, but no, that's how. Because I just thought, how is John Marston? I was just picturing myself as John Marston, baby. I'm pro.
And you watch a lot of Yellowstone.
And I watch Yellowstone too. Okay? I basically am a rancher at this point.
You are. Yeah,
1886, 1923, and Yellowstone.
Just name years.
I've just gotten into Viking. I'm pretty sure I could go pillage.
2023, you got this.
Do a longboat.
Yeah, I got. Pretty sure I could build a longboat, sail across the ocean, and conquer peoples. At this point.
No, that's true. Back to the. You know what? We could be pilots if we wanted.
We could be pilots.
In a pinch, I don't think we could. You know, we would get arrested.
Yeah, if they needed me. You know, I can do it.
Yeah, I understand thrust mechanics here.
Let's talk about Xbox Core. It dropped today. Who is it for? So this is basically Xbox Live. If you have it, it's gone. It's no more. There's no more Xbox Live Gold. You are now part of Xbox. Core. You're part of Game Pass Core is what it's called. It's $9.99 a month.
Same price, right?
Price as Xbox Live Gold. Now, the difference here is you get 25 games. You don't get day one releases. And let me give you an example of the games that are on there. You don't get day one releases, and you don't get the most recent games. So, for instance, Forza Horizon 4 is on Game Pass Core. Forza Horizon 5 is not.
Yeah, you get last year's model.
So you get last year's model. Halo 5 is on Game Pass Core. Halo Infinite is not. But it's pretty decent games that you get. You get access to 25 games. This is the entry level Game Pass for you. Just Among Us is on there. Celeste, Dead Cells, Dishonored, Doom, Fallout 4, Forza Horizon 4, Gears 5, Halo 5. And down the list, 25 games. It's decent. Is it worth it? Sure, it's worth it.
What's the cost?
$9.99. So it's the same price as Xbox Live Gold. However, at this point, if you're curious about Game Pass Core, should you get it? The answer is no. It's $10.99 to get the full-blown Game Pass, where you do get access to day one games. You get access to Starfield. You get access to Halo Infinite.
Yeah, man.
You get access to Hi-Fi Rush. You get access to everything that's on there, the full library, for $1 more. So Game Pass Core, in my mind, is literally just this overlap time until Xbox Live Gold is forgotten about.
Yeah, no, that's just really, I mean, that's a McDonald's level move.
It's actually really smart, because remember when they tried to go over before and it was something foolish? It was really...
Oh, yeah, they're trying to... I don't remember what it was. Really, they're getting rid of something. Yeah, it was... Yeah.
It was really discombobulated.
But, yeah, for the dollar more.
Yeah.
That's
a McDonald's move.
Would you like to
upgrade for a dollar?
Yeah. Yeah, why not?
Yes, I do. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, that's it's a good deal. Well, and everything else is the same too. Like if you want to do. Because core Game Pass is what, the $10.99, and then you have there's two more tiers, right?
There's Game Pass for PC, which is also just $9.99 actually. So
yeah, but they're separate. And then there's separate. Game Pass Ultimate, which is everything both. Combined, and that's what, $14.99
or $16.99. Yeah, that one went up in price, but I'm fine with that. $16.99, golden baby, yeah. Golden.
I dislike this for one little reason.
Give it to me.
This is basically to allow people, I mean, to play online games against each other.
Yep.
Your kid wants to play Fortnite. Your kid wants to do whatever.
Yep.
And you're a parent. You're like, sure, whatever. You go to Microsoft and you say, what's the cheapest one? Okay, get this. I kind of think they should just get rid of this.
Here's the thing. That's what I'm saying.
Because it's.
I think they will. I think they're phasing out. This is step one to phasing out gold. This will go away, and they'll say core no longer exists. We're increasing the price to $1, and for $1 extra now, everybody's part of Game
Pass. And I get that, and I get the $9.99 is to be like, yo, Brosif, go $1 more, you'll get the whole package.
Yeah.
But for those that don't care to, that aren't in the gaming universe, that are just parents,
yeah,
you know, cheapest one, fine, whatever, I feel like this kind of takes advantage of that bracket. I think it's...
Yeah, but well, if
I
those think, parents were already paying for Xbox Live Gold...
Well, I think mostly well, what
that's,
it's... Well,
that's the thing.
I think what it's mostly intended for is that they don't want to rock the boat with people that just pay for gold. Like, because that's what happened last time, is they tried to basically axe that lower tier altogether.
So here's the thing. When you go on to Game Pass, like the website, Xbox website, it actually doesn't show core. It only shows PC, console, and both. And
well, yeah, because they obviously want you to buy...
I mean, core, so core is not an option.
I'm at xbox.com/... Game Xbox Game Pass / core. That's where I am.
Yeah, I'm sure
you have to go there.
Like, core is an option, but you have to dig for it.
You have to dig for it. Like they'll take you directly there. But like if you go to just search Xbox Game Pass in the main page that pops up, actually core is not there.
Now to Mark's thing though, that's actually a real issue.
You have to hit show more at the bottom.
And I think there's a lot of gamers out there who are parents, obviously. I think what Xbox needs to do is come out with some type of family plan.
Oh, they are. They've already been experimenting with that. New Zealand has it.
That's great. Experiment faster. You know what I mean? Like
no, a family plan is
like
coming.
I think that's
family plan is coming. Is in the work. And just so you know, I list you all as my dependents anyways on my tech for tax purposes. so we're going to be getting that family plan.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. Well, so I just did a Google search searched Xbox Game Pass.
Yeah.
And
it's
not Xbox, so that like the SEO involved, but we get down below and then we get to The Verge, I think was the first story I saw.
Well, up top though, it is actually, if you go all the way up to the ad right there, Xbox Game Pass core, it is actually there right now.
See that timer
next to it? What does that mean?
I think that's the history.
I think you had to click into it. So just click Xbox at the top.
Here, I'm just going to do incognito mode real quick and just see what it does.
Yeah, I think that thing just means it's in your history.
Okay, so
yeah, let's see if it shows up.
Game Pass.
It
does not appear.
Yeah, so I'm telling you, this is just that. Core, I think, is going to be temporary. Should you get core? No, you shouldn't.
Well,
just pay $1 more and get...
I literally think it's just to appease.
It's to appease. Yeah. It's to get rid of... Xbox Live Gold.
Yeah, it's just to appease everybody. I think it's a good faith thing, right? Like, hey, look, we're not going to change the price on you. You guys have been Xbox Live members. Here's the core, right?
Yeah.
And we have all these other features if you want them.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm never upset with more options.
I am sometimes.
Well, I deal with some family that wants their kids to have games, and they could care less, and they'll just...
Yeah, you're defending them. You're defending
honestly,
those guys.
Honestly, of all the circles out there, there is a circle there of people that could be felt like they were being taken advantage of if they were to ever find out.
They're like, wait, for $1 more, I could have had all this extra?
I mean, and this is something Microsoft actually does quite often. I don't know if they do it on purpose or an accident, but...
I'm sure everything when it comes to dollars is very
Microsoft is one level, but the worst that I've ever seen is Marvel Snap. When I bought literally like 4 hours before the season ended.
And it
That was a dick move.
Because it shows it if you go into it, but it's when they advertised it.
When they advertised it, like, yeah, sure, I'll buy it. Boom.
No, but you know, no like timer. Call of Duty and stuff, they do that too.
Yeah,
right? Like,
that I actually think is predatory and should be not allowed.
I don't say a lot of things are predatory.
Especially
when it comes to you deciding to spend your own money.
Yeah.
But that was misleading.
That is. because here's the thing. I was instantly like, now I am on iOS, and the beauty of iOS is Apple will screw developers and you can just request a refund and iOS automatically grants it to you. They're like Costco that way. But
they're the Costco of the internet.
Even though I know that, I was too like, yeah, I can't be bothered with a return. And I bet you they bank on that. Like, I can't be bothered to refund this.
Well, I mean, you have to go to your settings and then into media purchases. Settings.
I've got to have a refund. Face, I don't have time for that. Yeah, look at my camera much. So it can unlock my phone for a refund.
Yeah, it's too much.
Enter my master password.
But it still pisses you off, right?
Yeah.
That's what this could potentially do. Because I had to deal, when you deal with like Microsoft 365 versus the business, yeah, the enterprise, all the other crap that Microsoft puts out.
Hey, did they ever get rid of that? Like,
no, it's still there.
It's still like,
yeah, you want to know who does it really bad too that pisses me off? Adobe. Like, let me a la carte my suite.
Yep. Yeah, they're
and they don't let, like, there are three or four programs that I absolutely need and would and use and take advantage of. Let me just pay for those, but they don't. You have to pay. It's all or nothing. So much so, and you're hooked. Yeah. I paid the $399. I was like, okay, I'm out. I can't do these fees for Final Cut Pro because it's a one-time purchase. And then I go into edit in Final Cut Pro, and I'm like, okay, this is a super simple thing that can take me 2 seconds that is taking me 45 minutes. I'm out because you don't know all the hotkeys and the layout. So they have you. You're trapped.
What about DaVinci? Did you go there?
Sony Vegas.
Yeah, wait. I don't need that crap. No,
Premiere Pro is.
Well, I don't know if you guys.
Whatever one you're trained on is the one.
I don't know if you guys seen that building. I mean, they got to pay for it. That's a lot of windows.
Always empty, by the way. Every time you pass by there,
that's what you're paying for.
Everyone works remote now. Every time I go by there, do you see anyone in that building? So everyone, we live next to the Adobe campus.
A lot of windows to clean.
A lot of windows. One, yeah. A giant gym.
That no one's in.
That no one's ever in. And I never see anyone sitting in those office chairs. They probably have the nice office chairs, too. They probably have those $1,500 office chairs that I want.
And that's what you're paying for. With that subscription
fee. Subscription fee. Friggin' Adobe.
No, yeah. Well, what's interesting about that is I actually, thinking about what happened this week with Unity.
Yeah. Oh, let's bring it. Let's talk about Unity.
It makes me think of Adobe. Because so for those of you that didn't hear, Unity, they released basically
their new price model.
Their new price model, yeah. And a lot of people are confused and upset, and there's drama about it and a whole bunch of stuff. Because essentially, I think I actually have it preloaded on here.
We were looking at it earlier.
It's purchased through to use the Unity engine. It's free. At this point, according to this, it would be free until you hit a certain threshold, and then they charge the developer per download per device.
Per download per device. That is
so it's,
ouch.
It's kind of interesting, and I was actually thinking, is it free? Is Unity free? Because you have Unity Pro, but is there... I don't know. I was trying to figure it out. If they charge the developer... annual fee to use their software, which I think they do, like the big boys.
No, Unity's free.
Unity is free.
Yeah, they went free when Unreal went free to match match the model.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Because I was thinking if Adobe charged me for every design that I made in Illustrator, a percentage, or every picture that I edited, or every video that I created, that I would not be using that software.
But no, but there's a difference here. It would be more like Adobe charging. Adobe has a marketplace that you're selling your stuff on, and every time you sell a picture you've edited, they charge you.
Yeah, but Unity does not have that marketplace. Unity is everywhere. It's on Steam. It's 60% of mobile games, I think, use Unity. 60%.
Yeah, it's a pretty big engine.
They're not.
Hearthstone uses Unity.
They're not shoving that out to the world. They're just letting you use the engine to create your stuff.
I think a lot of indie games use Unity.
Maybe I just don't understand right now how it works because...
We use Unity where I work.
You use Unity? Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, Unity is...
You're going to use it come January 2024?
Everywhere.
Yeah, here's the thing. I actually don't... Like, I think there's outrage on this because you're going something for free and now it's not free. But I actually don't know how big of a deal this is. Like, look at those numbers per install. Standard, what's the difference between the standard rate and the runtime
fee? You want me to zoom it up for us?
Yeah, and excuse me, someone that knows this really well can yell at me. I'm probably wrong. But for instance, 1.5 cent per install for installs between 1 and 100,000, for instance. Right? Or 15 cents. There you go. 15 cents per install. I think that's pretty standard. What do the other engines charge?
So Unreal.
Unreal does a percentage.
Yeah.
Percentage of sales, essentially.
That's essentially what this is, just with
thresholds. Yeah, because you remember their tagline? Yeah. When you succeed, we succeed.
Well, I think a percentage is much more easier to understand.
What does Epic do?
That's Unreal.
Oh, Epic is Unreal. Yeah. So Epic has its built-in marketplace, the Epic Store.
Yeah.
But that's nothing, I mean, compared to like what Steam is doing.
And you here's another issue. You have to trust Unity that this is not being abused.
Well, because here's the thing that I was...
Here's a hypothetical, okay? Here's two hypotheticals. Hypothetical one. You have... somebody that installs it on their Series X and then wants to play it on their Series S. They go into their other room, their bedrooms, install it there. One purchase, two unique devices. That's, you know, that in that case, they would have to trust that Unity would go, okay,
yeah, but
this algorithm, you know.
Yeah, but you can audit that because you have your own sales data on each of the platforms.
Now, here's a hypothetical too. People get pissed that there isn't a Russian language on a game. People get pissed that something in Starfield is not on PlayStation 5. What do? They install it on 15 devices. They mass hurt this developer. A big developer, Starfield, could probably absorb that a little bit, figure out, you know, okay, Unity, we got to figure this out. Make sure your algorithm for your defense, your security is, you know, making sure that these don't overcharge us. The little guy is going to be destroyed.
Yeah.
You have to trust Unity's fraud system in order for this to
work.
Well,
and then you have, I mean...
Whereas is much more... able to look through and see the data and go, okay, yeah, well, you made this much, we take that much.
But then you also have, how many times have you uninstalled and reinstalled a game?
Yeah, but
via Steam and stuff, whatever, you know what I mean? Like, does that count each time it's installed?
Yeah, and I think...
See, and that's where it's... But no, these were all concerns that were raised that I don't believe were answered very clearly.
Yeah, I think Unity came out and said their plan is to pass on the cost to the platforms. So Xbox... Google, Apple, right?
And where they're
actually not passing it on. Like it all trickles down. Who ends up paying for it?
Yeah, it's the consumer, right? That's who eventually it all gets passed on to.
I genuinely. So according to our sources, Spicy, big deal, not a big deal. We have sources who are intimately familiar with this.
Yeah.
Do they see this as a big deal? Not a big deal. I mean, obviously they see the marketing mess that it created. That was that they messed up on.
So
but as far as the actual structure.
Well, so, yeah, sources we know say that
sources close to the situation.
Sources close to the situation actually say that this model is cheaper than the 5%.
And I actually did hear that once this week, because I did hear something about this being actually cheaper than Unreal because
it comes out to 1-2%.
See, I think what happened here was a presentation issue. They didn't present it correctly.
And it's complicated. Like
it's like adding five currencies to a game.
That's the problem. It's complicated. And we can see it all on one screen, which is great. But maybe we're just not in the know and everything. But I have seen a lot of developers, I haven't seen their butts clenched, but a lot of tweets that I've seen, a lot of stuff is just like, well, now, oh, I saw, you know who was a funny one?
There's a big developer that said, we're going to remove our game if they don't change this.
Yeah.
And I don't believe that. Did they do it? Did they? If I was Unity, actually, I would call their bluff.
Well, they would change it January 1st because that's when this goes into effect.
The publisher that rented the parking lot across the street from E3,
Devolver Digital.
Devolver Digital's tweet was funny. They just said, "Let us know what your engine is from now on." that's what they said, basically. I'm paraphrasing, but they just said, "Let us know your engine because that matters now in our discussions."
Now that's funny.
So they're not obviously not happy with that. That's like implied, like, okay, we're not going to pick you up if you use Unity.
I feel like a lot of that is kind of virtue signaling, though, honestly.
Sure. The problem, I think the idea here is it's cheaper, and they're trying to say this is a, I don't know, they're not trying to say, they failed in saying it's cheaper, but... My concern is, from looking here and being stupid, you know, this could potentially be a fraud issue because the internet sucks. You have to trust the anti-fraud system. So a small-time developer doesn't get boned.
My problem with this is, like, look at the news sites that these are coming from. Like, I type in... Unity, what developers say about Unity, and here's the top three sites: Axios, Polygon, VentureBeat. All have very specific ideological agendas that plague all of their reporting. And so, like what is the truth is what I'm getting at. Like, I want an unbiased, I want to know why Unity is doing it. Why some developers are against it and hear it and then make a decision for myself. I feel like the water's very muddied right now.
I would like...
I'm passing my BS filter. I have red flags up everywhere. Like, also, wait a minute, what's happening?
Those people are probably really good at SEO. Because
yeah, true, but I also don't think like that they're the ones grinding the axe on it is probably for a specific reason.
I would like to, because we obviously haven't done the math, I would like...
So we just need more information.
Yeah, I would like the math to be, because like you said, does it end up being cheap? Because I heard once this week, it was when a guy that I watch on YouTube, it was during a thing they were talking, and one person said, well, still cheaper than Unity, or still cheaper than Unreal. And even he said, like, well, I don't know what Unreal charges, blah, blah, blah. Right? So
the source that we have say that it's about 2% versus 5%.
What I want to know is, even looking at this chart, is it both? So there's a revenue threshold and then there's an install threshold. Is it both of those, or is it you choose one or the other?
Even Axios is saying demos, Game Pass downloads, and reinstallations do not trigger fees.
See, and that was the question, is because I heard earlier this week that demos would trigger fees because you're installing it.
Yeah.
So has that been confirmed that it does not trigger fees? Does early access trigger fees? Does
Hush in chat says, how is Unreal more expensive? If you don't make money, it's free. Unity, you pay from the first download. You have to hit a threshold. It's 200,000. You have to have made from the game at least $200,000 for that.
Dollars or downloads?
Dollars. Oh, okay. It's a revenue threshold.
Unreal. So
once you hit that threshold, actually, which is and every
actually,
game.
So see, and that's where it's confusing in chat. It's actually because I thought the same thing. Unity, pay from the first download. I thought the exact same thing, but according to this chart, you actually don't pay from the first download. It's another threshold that you have to hit.
Yeah. So
if you look, installs over the install threshold, and it looks like, let's say, the basic plan for the threshold of downloads is 200,000.
So by the end of the evening, this is according to Axios. By the end of the evening, Unity exec Mark Witten was updating Axios on the policies to potentially diffusing some concerns raised by game creators. So with Unity's the new runtime fee announced Tuesday morning is tied to a player's installations of a game, an action that previously didn't cost developers anything, blah, blah. With Unity's new plans, developers who use Unity's free tier of development services would owe Unity 20 cents per installation once their game hits threshold of 200,000 downloads.
And that's and what this chart
$200,000.
No, 200,000 downloads and earn 200,000 in revenue. So it's a combo.
So it's a combination threshold.
Yeah. Okay. And, oh, yeah. And the free, the important thing is it's the free tier. So because there's enterprise tiers and stuff,
and
too,
those
right?
are a million downloads and a million revenue.
Okay, game developers rallying on X, so this is Twitter, began fuming immediately that any game enjoying a spike in installations due to a big sale, blah, blah, inclusion in a charity bundle, blah, 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 would trigger breaking Unity fees. And they call that Unity has scrambled to clarify. It just seems like they just rolled it out incorrectly.
That's honestly. Well, and the source that we have
basically
said this was a top-down decision. And it wasn't flushed out yet, and it upset a lot of people.
And, well, so, and what doesn't help is if you know who the CEO of Unity is, he doesn't have exactly the greatest history when it comes to monetization.
So Unity has scrambled to clarify and in one case alter what it said about policies around the fees. So initially a spokesman came out and said that, yes, if you install a game, delete it, install it again, it would result in multiple fees. They came out and clarified that. And I can totally see that. That's probably someone – the PR person is not informed 100% on how it works and didn't understand that. So makes sense. But yeah, so it's only the initial installation. So the first time installation, he clarified, the exec clarified that he hoped this would allay fears of install bombing where an angry user could keep deleting and reinstalling the game. That's not how it works. An extra fee will be charged if a user installs a game on a second device, say a Steam Deck after installing a game on a PC.
Dude, that's still frustrating to a developer.
Runtime fees will also not be charged for installations of game demos, Winton said, unless the demo is part of a download that includes the full game. That makes sense because so early access.
So like instance, if you pre-order Call of Duty and you get the beta.
It makes sense because you're buying the game. Games offered for charity or included in charities will be exempt from the fees. Unity will provide a way for developers to inform Unity that their games are being offered that way. As for Game Pass and other subscription services, Witten said that developers would not be on the hook as the fees are charged to distributors, which in the Game Pass example would be Microsoft. Runtime fees would also not be charged for installation of game demos, blah, blah. We said that already.
Which is actually, so that distributor thing, which is why Devolver Digital.
Now, this is Axios. I apologize, Axios, for throwing you under the bus. This actually seems pretty fair.
Hey, good job, guys.
Yeah, good job. Of note, Witten estimates that only about 10% of Unity's developers will wind up having to pay any fees given the thresholds games need to hit. Our core point with this, is what Witten said, is simply to make sure that we have the right value exchange so we can continue to invest in our fundamental mission to make sure that we can deliver the best tools for people to make great games.
Well, see, and this article is a little bit better because earlier in the week I was with chat because I was under the impression it was from download number one.
No.
As soon as you release a game and download it, they immediately charge you a fee.
To Spicy's point, even this, chart is not clear. It's confused. They messed up on the rollout and the presentation.
And even if you read the chart, it does in the corner there say installs or installs over the install threshold.
I would still argue that it's not clear regardless. Perfect infographic, David, if they were to have the perfect infographic, it is not as clear as 5% over 1 million downloads. Or 1 million in sales. That's unreal.
Yeah, it's pretty clear.
That's clear?
Yeah, I would make a line chart.
Show me your design skills, David.
Like the cyberpunk, this is perfect. The cyberpunk roadmap actually clarifies this. And halfway along the map, I put $200,000 and $200,000. Top is installs, bottom is dollars. Once you hit that line, now you pay.
Well, see, that's what I was. So you have to hit it on both thresholds before you start paying fees.
Yeah.
So well, now, and this,
here's
and this is
the
where
thing. Here's I, the thing that I none of know. Us know. None of us are developers that understand this. I am certain this is like developers are laughing at us And I think the problem here is you had a few developers angry at this that probably didn't initially understand either.
Well,
they
no
get
one
on Twitter.
I'm going to be honest.
All,
I don't think guys still
all we all see, all gamers see, is this big bad corporation trying to take more money from developers and from and so like that's just such an easy thing to pile on.
Sure,
I'm sure this is just the standard practice. I'm sure. I am.
Well, I would like more information.
So let's say he's correct.
I'm not
here.
Sure.
Let's give him the benefit of the doubt. This only affects 10% of developers that ever meet that threshold. That's probably because 10% of their entire platform is these big developers that are reaching those thresholds.
Well,
right?
I would say any game that sells reaches this threshold. Every game that sells, it's 200,000.
200,000 is a lot.
Not in really. Game development. Yeah, not really.
Voice acting, three employees for two. This is over 2 years, I think, is what it is.
12 months.
So let's say a game developer has three employees, yep, and you have to worry about all the stuff that can
no,
be
no,
overhead.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. You're saying 200,000 to make a game is not that much. Correct. What I'm saying is very few games are that successful.
Most
games exist because there's investment behind them, investors taking a risk, thinking that okay, I'll invest in this. I'm paying the bills. Sure. I hope this pays off on the back end.
But I'm just saying, hitting that threshold.
That's very few games.
Every game that I would say that every game you see hits this threshold. Every single game hits this threshold that you see.
Any advertised
every game that you don't see that are the ones that just suck. Don't. Or some kid, some 15-year-old that's learning the engine that publishes it on Steam, obviously won't hit that because he's just doing it, you know, for fun.
Yeah,
but
I don't
every
know.
Single game you see will hit this threshold.
Well, see, and that's what I want to know. Does the math work? Because
I still
does
think,
the math work out?
Yeah.
To be cheaper. Because if the math works out according to what, yeah, like I heard earlier in this week, with, like I said, when I was watching different videos on it, that said cheaper than Unreal, right? So if you work out the percentage and compare them, like the both their models, I would just like to know how the math works out.
I think this could have been done better.
Yeah,
that's the thing. Yeah. I think, yeah. And as long as everyone trusts the Unity anti-fraud detection system and it's good, then okay. Because the internet can bandwagon and destroy somebody. Guilty before innocent, and that's scary.
Yeah.
And they could do that with financially if it doesn't, if they're.
Well, and then, like I said, if people do use Unity, like, will it. It's because, yeah, I don't understand.
I think this is the problem. 99% of people weighing in on it, including journalists who are writing these articles, don't understand how it works to begin with.
Well, I'm going to. There's a reason they don't understand. To Mark's point,
I think
this could have been sent out much clearer. They probably should have done this at a conference, not under the new Apple.
Or right after the CEO sold all his stock.
Here's the thing, too. It was kind of a slow news week in gaming. Like, I would have released this when Starfield dropped.
Well, I know what they did is
they
released it.
Stock first.
I think they released it during. Wasn't there a tech thing this week? And they released it during that to hopefully it got buried. I think they're like, oh yeah, Apple just had that Mother Earth commercial. Throw it out. Everybody's going to talk about that.
Yeah, I think it's just it's so. We don't know. Ultimately, always that we don't know. Like, this is all a guessing game to us. Is this good? Is it bad? Time will tell. I guess.
And to be honest, I'm sure. Like, even with Unreal, I know Unreal has a percentage when you meet a certain threshold. But I'm curious, like. Does Unreal have different tiers as well?
I don't know.
I just know like Unreal's basic, like, yeah, you know, and I think even in chat, right, it's $1 million gross and then Unreal pays and then you pay a percentage of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unity's like they're a dominant part of.
Oh yeah.
Engines.
They're.
And
you.
So this, if this is,
would you,
well, you can't just jump ship as a developer either.
No, you can't just change.
You can't. You're committed. And Unity, like I said, I think the last thing I saw, they were 60% of mobile games. They're like 40, I don't know. There are so many games. I mean, the games I play, Tarkov is in Unity. Hearthstone is in Unity, which you think about those two games. Hearthstone versus Tarkov. They were made by the same engine. The engine has a lot of power if you can do those two styles.
Yeah, because does Unity have more games on it than Unreal?
I actually think so. If they have 60% of mobile, then 100%. There's more.
There's more, mobile games, yeah.
Than you can shake a stick at. So. Yeah. Well.
Well, a lot of your big companies don't have to worry about this because Cyberpunk has their own engine, Bethesda has their own engine,
Rockstar,
yeah. EA has their own.
Are they all derivatives though of Havoc. Other engines,
which Microsoft owns now?
It all started in the 90s, I think, with Havoc. I don't know how.
Hey, we should make a game, guys.
That'd be cool.
I actually had a discussion about the
what kind of game. Do you think we could make, like, genuinely? Let's say we have 6 months and we have free time for 6 months, and we're going to say, hey, let's make a game. Just current knowledge we have now, nothing new. The three of us combined.
Do you want the game to be successful?
A successful game,
or is it a game we want to like? We
I would like an MMO, but I think it's difficult.
Successful game to me is a game created that we like. We enjoy playing. So what? Yeah, what genre do to me? In my mind, I call them Excel sheet strategy game. I feel like that would be a game that would be our sweet spot. Excel sheet strategy.
There are a couple of games we could do. We could do a platformer because I'm looking at our skill sets here.
Yeah,
I think a platformer could work. I think we could do a card game.
Yes, yeah, I'd be all about a card game. Yeah, I could be down with that.
I think we could do that because we can't cyberpunk this. We can't look
no
too big.
No, yeah. No, no, no. All of those are out of the window. Yeah, yeah. But what? Yeah.
Yeah, I think those two. Maybe a top-down isometric style like Stardew Valley kind of a game. We could probably handle that.
Yeah, agreed.
Chad says it'll look like Hotline Miami.
Oh, yeah. We could do a Hotline Miami. Yeah.
I would do all the voice acting for it.
Well, see, that's Jordan would be the talent.
Just like just
David
like
would
back
be
in,
the script writer, and I would do the artwork.
Back in Oblivion, where it's like the same guy making different voices three different times, you know?
Yeah. No, my philosophy.
Sweet roll.
My philosophy would be, okay, what's the game we want to make? Now, how do we make it the most simple version of that as possible?
We could just pay someone to make it.
Just strip it down. That's not the question.
You can do anything.
I think that would be a fun. Let's say tomorrow I become a millionaire just for fun. P.S. That's going to happen one day, but let's say it happens tomorrow.
Okay.
I don't have to work. Let's say we all don't have to work.
Are you the daddy bucks?
But you also are you going for like a AAA game? Because I think AAA games take more than $1 million.
The
to make.
Three of us. No, no. All I'm saying is we have time now. We don't have a job for a salary. We all of a sudden have this time. I genuinely think that would be a fun challenge to me. Like, okay, I want to try to build a game
as a starter game cool. For me. I would like to try and make a game similar or like a Sea of Stars type of game, like 2D RPG. You know,
yeah, there's a lot into Sea of Stars though.
Well, okay, I'm not saying exactly Sea of Stars, but something like that.
Yeah,
like
yeah. 2D, see, so that's what I'm saying RPG. Is we'd have to take like what's the game we want in my mind, and
actually
we Blizzard it, strip it all down. Simple, and then build it back up in my
I
mind.
Know exactly what we have potential to do.
Give
it, to
give,
make
it,
it
give it to me. Give it to me.
Wargroove.
Oh, yeah.
We agreed. Could do Wargroove.
We could do a Wargroove.
Well, and actually, I don't know if you guys saw the Sony conference, but we could just straight up steal someone's idea and make our own game.
Wait, what was this? Full disclosure, I did not watch Sony.
Actually, full disclosure, I don't know what he's talking about.
I did not watch the Sony State of Play.
To be fair,
the
Sony State of Play, I actually thought it was pretty good. There was a lot of people that didn't like it. I thought it was pretty good. They totally ripped Splatoon, and it's called like Foam Wars. Like it's like you guys literally just took Splatoon. Like it's you gotta pull up the trailer like Foam Wars. It's literally you're like, I actually thought I was like, is Splatoon coming to PlayStation?
It's Foam Wars.
It's called Foam Wars.
So instead of paint, it's foam.
Yeah, but it's colored foam, so it looks just like paint. It was so because I'm sitting there like, you guys just took Splatoon and
Foam Stars.
Put it on your console.
I think it's Foam Stars.
It's literally Splatoon.
Let's see.
But so we can do something like that.
Let's see this. You can only get away with that if you're Sony.
A big company. Yo, so I think we should do something like this.
If you're a big corporation that crushes dreams
if you're
of Sony, people with ideas.
You're not just Sony. No, if you're Square Enix, you could get away with this. That is true.
Okay, yeah, there's the squirt guns. Okay. Yeah,
there's the, but that's like
but squirt you're, guns you're on like, steroids. No, you're watching the gameplay, yeah, and it's like
serious Splatoon. It's like, this is Splatoon for like, adults.
This is Splatoon.
That's what this is.
You can go faster on your phone with your surfboard.
I remember watching this.
Let me see.
Should I skip ahead or
is there actual gameplay? I saw the gameplay trailer.
Is this the gameplay trailer?
I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. There's the cinematic.
Yeah.
So Splatoon is more.
It's not as 3D. But this is Splatoon. That's funny. So can you only ride your surfboard on your own foam?
Yeah, just like in Splatoon.
This is Fortnite meets Splatoon. Yeah. Is what this is.
Okay.
So I didn't mean that as like an insult to Sony, but we can all agree. They literally are just like, hey, Splatoon did good. Let's make that game. Let's
do that. Well,
Square Enix definitely did.
That's funny.
Speaking of Square Enix, can we talk about something interesting? I want your guys' thoughts because I think you actually both disagree with me. So Square Enix.
Yeah, I disagree.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, let me.
So Square Enix was. There was a news story this week. They lost, I had it written down, they lost over $2 billion in market value since the release of Final Fantasy 16 over the course, right?
Wow, why?
I don't know the exact reasons, but there was things brought up, and I'm curious about this too. Do you think it's because Square Enix does a lot of exclusive stuff with PlayStation, so they're not making as much money, right? So, for example, I believe in the first week of Final Fantasy 16, it sold 3 million copies, and Square Enix was very proud of it, which is a good number, right? I mean, Square Enix is very proud of that number, and they said that's good relative to how many PS5s are out there, right?
Well, that's the limited, the PS5s.
Now,
the limited access that had existed for several years.
Like, I'm at the point, and this is where I think you guys might disagree with me. If Starfield was on PlayStation, good on them, right? Like, I think I'm at the age where I don't care about. I understand the purpose of exclusivity, but I think you should let the people play.
Well,
you know, when I run for president, let the people play.
So when you're talking,
why would you say I would disagree with that?
No.
You think I'm some tyrant or like?
Wait for it. David's got his opinion.
David's the a-hole.
It has nothing to do. So when you say like they lost, how did you say that, Jordan?
They lost $2 billion in market value. Yeah, since
so
the
that
release
sounds. This is why. System. This is why it's disingenuous news story. So that sounds like a big deal, but all that does, they're still ahead of 2019. They're 2019. It just means their stock price went down. There's a massive correction. There's like five companies or three. I think it's less than that. I think there's three companies who are right now. The entire S&P is positive. That's due to three companies. Everybody else is negative right now. The world economy, the macroeconomic situation is everybody's down. It's this giant correction. So they're still above 2019 levels. What happened in 2019? COVID. What happened to all stay-at-home gaming companies, software, everything shot through the roof. So all we're seeing is a correction. That's it. That has nothing to do with Square Enix making terrible decisions or anything. We're literally living through
Forsaken didn't perform very well either, right?
Yeah, but that's not Forsaken's. What's Forsaken? Like, Forsaken's not bringing down your company.
And they did, what was it, last year? They sold off Crystal Dynamics and all that stuff?
We're literally just, yeah. But, because, once again, we're seeing everybody, Microsoft laid off 10% of their entire staff. Like that.
Which actually, if you did the numbers, actually equates to how much new employees they pick up with the Activision Blizzard. Did you see that? Like, when you lay off 10%, that ended up being like...
Everybody in the tech space is cutting everything. We're in this massive, massive correction period.
The CEO talked about, like, hey, they're in a rebuilding year, right? They're restructuring a bunch of stuff and all this stuff. But no, here, this is... But the point... Do you think... But don't you think they would have better stocks if that game sold more? And how would that game sold more by being on more platforms?
Well,
I guess.
Do you think exclusivities...
You want to know what else would make their stock sell more? If the world economy wasn't collapsing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also if the game sold more.
No, it has nothing to do...
Let me ask you this. Week one sold 3 million copies. Let's say they release on Xbox and PC. I think week one, easily you can get another 3 million copies out of that. So double your week one sales at 6 million copies just in week one.
I think this is a...
If it was on multiple platforms.
This is someone that probably made a YouTube video and got a lot of clicks on it. for stoking fanboy wars with Square Enix, and that's
there's actually a ton of articles. Well, there's a ton of articles on
them. You're gaming news journalists that I
no. But what I'm saying is, do you think exclusivities hurt the developer?
No,
I do.
No, because an exclusivity comes with a giant ass check from Sony. That makes up that difference.
Yeah, probably.
So that's all that shareholders care about is how much money you're making.
Well, and this goes all ways, right?
Here it is. This is the last five years. Look at where we're at today, right there.
Yeah. Here, look at
2019. We're still above 2019. Literally, what is in between here? Look at the peak.
Yeah.
Look at this peak. That's COVID.
I don't know how to help you.
And it's a gradual decline.
Can you help me?
Just type in Square Enix stuck.
Okay.
Yeah, but what if they sold more copies?
Yeah, now hit 5 years. All over the right, yeah, right there. There it is. Okay,
here we go. This is what David's showing us.
Now, what I'm saying is, what if they sold more copies?
Now, go to
that
bottom out point, Mark. Just hover over it. Over to your left, to your left, to your left. Bottom out right there. January 2019. See that massive spike? What happened during that's COVID. And see the garage is then tapers off. And now all it is a correction, everybody. The whole world has been inflated with tons of money from COVID and lockdowns, and we're just barely correcting.
Okay.
That makes for great news stories, but it has nothing to do with whether or not Square Enix is successful or whether or not they should be exclusive or not.
Yeah, I think they would be more successful if they were not exclusive. And I point to FanFest, where the CEO talks about bringing more games to different platforms like Xbox. Because I think there's more money in bringing games everywhere, which in turn is better for consumers.
You don't know what PlayStation paid to keep them. You're just guaranteed money. It's guaranteed money.
Yeah. But I think a game like Final Fantasy 16 would have sold very well across the other platforms.
Of course it would have.
So that's what I'm saying. But it wouldn't sell. I am at the point in my life where I don't like exclusives anymore. I mean,
oh really?
Yeah. No, Microsoft. Yeah, Microsoft.
So you don't think Starfield should be an exclusive?
No. I wouldn't be against it.
You're so full of shit.
Get off that high one-powered horse.
If Starfield came to PlayStation, I wouldn't be against it.
Because I want all gamers to play all games everywhere. Yeah, I want everyone to play games.
And that's the platform I'll run on.
You come with me and I will break up these corporations so no game will be exclusive anywhere ever.
No, I understand the purpose of exclusivity. I think exclusives are bad for the player.
Jordan for office 2024.
Yes. No, I understand the purpose of exclusivity. His running mate
will be Putin.
Yeah, I think exclusives are bad for the consumer.
Then you're against Game Pass.
No, Game Pass is good.
Game Pass is exclusive. Starfield is exclusive to Game Pass.
And Game Pass is available on multiple devices.
No, Windows devices.
Yes, but how...
I guess it's not exclusive to Game Pass because it's on Steam as well.
It wouldn't exist... If it wasn't exclusive.
No, and you're wrong. It's not exclusive because it's on Steam. Jordan. No, it's not on the PlayStation, but I will say, and I'm not
happy. Why do you own a PlayStation, Jordan? Why do you own
to one? Buy the games I can't get everywhere else, which is why I understand the purpose of exclusivities, but.
Why do you go to In-N-Out over McDonald's sometimes and vice versa? I don't think hamburgers should be exclusive.
No, it's the quarter pounder versus the 4x4.
I don't think those should be exclusive. I think McDonald's is cheating this. Everywhere should have the same burger. I think we're getting cheated. In-N-Out should be everywhere. We're getting cheated.
You know what, David? You're actually right. How great would it be if I could just go to one place that's nearby that has every single thing that I want?
Exactly. Maybe it's called, I don't know, the commissary.
I think exclusives are not consumer friendly.
I think you got duped by headlines.
No.
This is the reality of what's happening.
No, well,
because
we
sexy.
Can talk about yeah, but
it's
we
sexy.
Can.
Oh
we,
yeah, you know what? F Square Enix.
No, it's not.
They should fail because they're only on PlayStation. That's what's causing their
collapse. Mark, when did I say that? David's doing this thing again where he hasn't listened to me for the past 15 minutes.
Was in
Yeah, when did I say
June of 2022?
No, when did I say F Square Enix? No, no, so can you find
saying,
it for me?
I'm not saying that you said that. I'm saying that journalists that
you're not saying that I said that. Yeah, you literally just said that I said that.
Stories are saying that it makes for a sexy news story.
No, no, the news stories. There's multiple news stories that don't even talk about exclusivity. I'm saying, do you think they would have done better if this game was not exclusive from Square? I'm not talking about PlayStation standpoint. I'm talking about from Square Enix.
I'm telling you, no. I don't think that this would affect their stock price at all.
And you don't think they would have had a more successful launch of Final Fantasy if it launched on all platforms, like PC and Xbox?
Of course.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but that wouldn't affect their stock price. Like, that's nothing.
I believe when you sell more units, your stock goes up, right?
No. No.
Yeah. When you make more money, doesn't it go up? When you're doing well.
Well, it depends on. There's a big depends there. You could be making more money, but have to launder it. Sometimes.
What did we learn from this episode? Jordan's a communist.
Yeah, that wants to that thinks
he's a gaming communist. That's what we just learned.
I think communism would keep games on one platform.
Well, there would just be one game.
No, look, I don't. No, look, I that's why
and
that's
it probably would suck.
No, look, that's why
I understand
what
you're saying. I'm not saying that you're saying that. I'm saying that the people are trying to make a news story out of something. And it's a sexy talking point.
There was
not true.
Yeah, there was like 20 episodes ago where I said I don't care for exclusives anymore.
I don't. Okay.
And that's what I'm saying. I don't. I think like even that's why I think Xbox is at least doing better because they're offering like Starfield in multiple places.
Yeah, but that's great that you don't care for exclusives. That's not like.
Well, and that was my question. Do you think Square Enix would be doing better?
Told you the answer.
I've said yes. But I don't think it's related to their stock prices, all that I'm saying.
Well, the stock prices is just where the initial conversation came from. I don't care about their stock. I'm saying, do you think they would do better if they released their games on multiple platforms?
Don't define. This is rhetorical. Define better.
More sales. Like I said, week one.
David just says, here's a big fat check. Just go with us.
Yeah, like
they're covering
their bottom line,
covering the cost.
Their stock price is based on a bottom line for the most part. It's also based on macroeconomic factors, right? So, and you can see those there. Like that's COVID. We're getting corrected. We're going back to normal
that's
levels.
Fine, but what I'm saying, I think in week one they could have doubled their 3 million sales.
Maybe PlayStation offered them a price they could not resist.
We'll see.
They offered them an island.
Yeah, probably. Well, I'm curious what that price is.
Yeah, aren't we all?
Do you think exclusives are consumer friendly? Since we're on the topic.
Well, do I think exclusives are consumer friendly? That is a good question. And I'm going to say yes. I do think that they're consumer friendly.
Yeah, I don't think they are.
Because it's not just whether or not me being able to play a game everywhere is not necessarily consumer friendly, because the question is competition consumer friendly? And the answer is yes. Yeah. Competition is exclusive or is consumer friendly. Exclusivity is a part of that competition. That competition creates better games at better prices with better features on more places to play. Without that competition, we wouldn't have exclusivity. Well, yes, which maybe you think is a negative, but we wouldn't have competition. And without that competition, we wouldn't have the games at the quality that we're getting on the devices that we have, as accessible as we have them, just wouldn't exist.
I
just blew your mind, didn't I?
You do bring up a good point.
Exclusive. Exclusive.
With that, let's end the show. Can we end on a high note? I'm out. I'm out, everybody. Hey, stick around. You thought this was good. If you like this,
we're actually going to have them fight.
Wait till we continue this in the members' lounge, where we're going to take off our shirts and we're going to duke it out. Today's member lounge, we're talking nudity.
Are we?
And how in the middle of a battle, I got naked and then crushed it.
In Baldur's Gate.
We'll see you in the members' lounge, everybody. Have a good week.